Good afternoon. Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. And it's all about tomatoes.
It is. It's a good time for them.
Baltimore brings the beautiful humidity in the middle of summer.
Little rain shower in the afternoon, which is nice.
And the one piece of magic that makes up for when the nights are warm is that the tomatoes ripen faster.
Nightshade plant.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a fruit, which a lot of people don't realize.
So should we get into all like the serious and historical parts of the program and the mysteries and all the mythology behind tomatoes?
We need to be very serious.
So we can get really silly as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Because that's funny. Tomatoes just make people happy. That's the first thing that, you know, I drop off stuff from markets and kitchens and all June and then into July, they're like, tomatoes yet?
Right.
Are they good tomatoes yet?
All the chefs are anxious.
And I'm the fussiest. I'm like smelling all the stems and the tomatoes. Mm. And we can talk about selecting and all that kind of business, but it's a funny thing. It's like so many birds waiting for mom to come home with.
Right. I guess we just, there's nothing like a tomato because it is a fruit. It has that aspect that is, it's juicy. It has a beautiful texture when it's fresh and right off the plant, and it has such a beautiful aroma. So the history of the tomato is, you know, that it comes from the western part of South America from 500, you know, AD. And it's such an ancient plant and, you know, was also in Mexico as well. And really some of the first signs of the cooking of the tomato or the use of eating a tomato was in Mexico and was a very important part of their cuisine and always has been.
So you're talking about like back in Aztec times and that sort of thing.
Exactly. And then you have the Spanish colonization of America. And, you know, that's when the tomato, you know, was taken from here and kind of spread throughout the world eventually because the Spanish people obviously took them back to Spain and suddenly you have gazpacho that's red instead of white and,
because gazpacho was a white soup for, 1,000 years or something like that?
Exactly. So it's an amazing change. You know, I can imagine, you know, and people thought that, there were actually strains of tomatoes that were, or the leaves or something were poisonous. I'm not a scientist, but there was certainly some truth to the fact that people were scared of eating tomatoes at some point and thought they were poisonous and eventually realized that a lot of varieties were not. So, and really at that time, the tomatoes were little tiny tomatoes that were often yellow, not red, and had, you know, these thick skins and were really, really beautiful. And eventually you end up with, crossbreeding of the product that you have these larger tomatoes that we think of today. So we have, thankfully, the interest in heirloom tomatoes probably, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, starting to bring back these old heirloom seeds. And, now we have some of these wonderful old original seeds that produce just an amazing tomato.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Cindy Wolf, tomato detective. So we are live and we're taking your calls and questions about tomatoes and everything related to them. 410-662-8780 or toll free 866-661-9310. And if you're shy about the radio and you want to email us questions, and we have a bunch of emailed questions already sort of stacked up from previous programs and about tomatoes, you can reach us at foremanwolf@wypr.org. The local number to call, 410-662-8780. And so in your tomato detective work, so...
Mostly I like to cook and work with tomatoes.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not a historian, obviously, of tomatoes.
It's funny that the proprietary sort of pride, if someone is from New Jersey... They're like, the Jersey tomatoes are what you have to have.
Right.
Or if someone's from Maryland, obviously, it's the Eastern Shore. It's this, that, and the other thing. You know, you were saying that you see it showing up in American cookery in South Carolina first.
Yeah, which is interesting, in the 1700s. So I'm proud of that, considering my interest in Low Country cooking, that they were smart enough to start using them in the 1700s. And different varieties were planted on the plantations, and they began to recognize just how wonderful they were to work with.
One thing I've noticed for sure, once upon a time, I had a chance to do a restaurant opening in Atlanta, and the two chefs were two European chefs, and one was Jean-Louis Palanin, and one was Gunter Seeger. And these guys are some of the first guys that were sort of like, cost be damned, I'll fly anything from anywhere to where, you know, that I want to use.
Well, thank God for Jean-Louis' attitude that way.
Absolutely.
He paved the way for the rest of us,
but
chefs.
I learned a valuable tomato lesson. He had heirloom tomatoes that were grown in March in California, flown to Atlanta, right? And I can't tell you how much it cost. And these gentlemen were wonderfully committed to their idea, but they also were, I think, committed to running the restaurant and the business.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, in the month or so that I spent with that with those guys, that these tomatoes showed up and they looked beautiful, but they didn't taste like the heirloom varieties that we had here, and it was interesting. And I know it's because of the conditions. We started the show talking about humidity, and exactly what happens. Last year's tomato season was entirely different from this one.
Yeah.
If you recall, sure. Maybe the best heirloom tomatoes we had were the first week of October. Super strange.
Yeah, that was really strange. Very strange.
Only the guys that planted things like a secondary planting or tertiary planting late, because we had all of those big storms in August. And usually, mm-hmm. Historically in this part of the country, you can set your calendar with somewhere around July 20th in the warmest places in the state. So the Eastern Shore and like Houston, Baltimore County and Southern Maryland along the bay. You will get really nice tomatoes and sweet that you can smell like the hot vine. When you smell the stem of the tomato and you can smell the hot vine,
mm-hmm.
still, whether it's warm or not,
mm-hmm.
That's how you know that it's a real thing, it's going to have flavor and it's going to be ripe and that it's not been refrigerated.
Right, which is a big deal.
And usually you will get tomatoes from there to the coolest parts of the state that grow tomatoes, say Carroll County or up near Pennsylvania or even Western Maryland. You'll get them until maybe, they'll ripen about 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with, if you work one side of the state to the other, you got like a 7 or 8 week season, maybe.
What do we have right now coming in?
Right, well, we have
cherry
tomatoes ripen much faster. I mean, mm-hmm. all the horticulturists will tell you it's all about the life of the plant and how long. Well, it's kind of obvious. If the fruit is 1/10 of the size of the other fruit, it's going to ripen up an awful lot quicker. So cherries are what you want to find right now. And
mm-hmm.
color means something, but honestly, it's the smell, and it's the smell right at the stem that will tell you if that's the tomato that you want.
And you've always said the sunshine on the plant makes such a difference, rather than those hothouse tomatoes that were coming to Jean-Louis at that time of the year that you were talking about.
Yeah.
So
I think that they were not hothouse tomatoes. I think that, but they were grown in really dry conditions.
Okay.
In Southern California or Central California, and I think that made a big difference in the life of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because the dry conditions were almost a little bit desert-like, the nights were much cooler. One of the funny little things that happens, and yes, I grew up in Maryland, but I believe that our tomatoes, when you get them at the right places at the right time, are as good or better than anywhere that I've ever had them.
I agree.
Because those nights that you hate, that you know you have to have air conditioning because it's 90 degrees when you go to sleep and it's 90 degrees when you wake up on August 11th or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Used to make every paperboy cry when I was a kid. You couldn't get up early enough to not sweat the entire time.
Right.
That's exactly what that plant needs to, like, all of a sudden have all that fruit ripen really quickly.
And to have the sugars, probably,
And ripen up fast enough, faster than the birds can eat them, and the squirrels can get them,
right.
Yeah,
and the bunnies in my yard, which I have 3 different tomato plants. I'm not the best gardener in the world, but I'm trying to learn, and I'm just waiting for the rabbits or the squirrels to get to these tomatoes before they can ripen up.
And callers can reach us 410-662-8780 or toll-free 866-661-9310. And you can call us with tomato lore or recipes or gardening or all about how you think tomatoes are the worst thing to eat in the entire world. But I think you're probably a minority.
Yeah. When I was a kid and we lived in North Carolina, the first time I ate a tomato that I remember, very southern thing back then, the lady across the street would put sugar on them. Oh, and I just hated them.
Oh.
I know, it's so awful. But that was very southern.
I think there might have been a 50s or 60s adaptation for those things that came. They were like little red rocks, and they would show up in these little containers of 3 or 4 in a little plastic thing in the grocery store, stacked up neatly.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And they kind of looked like reddish lacrosse balls or something, for the locals that know that
sport.
We've
come a long way since then.
Oh, my. Well, they're still out there. They're still in the grocery store, and mm-hmm. you still see people put them in their cart.
But thankfully, we have other choices, and it's pretty cool to go into some of our major grocery stores and see that they're, actually have the local farm names on. I haven't seen that very often here. That's a pretty cool new thing, and really says something about how things have changed.
Well, how much have we watched? I mean, the last 20 years, people's interest in the business with, maybe 13, 14, 15 years ago, we had a discussion about asparagus. We're going to serve it that one month.
Right.
That is beautiful and not the rest of the year.
The local, right.
And people would get upset with us. So they couldn't get strawberries in October.
Or December.
When they wanted strawberries for the dessert.
I will never forget that. The aspect of why don't you have berries in December?
The cool thing
because they're going to be terrible.
Well, the cool thing is that the market learns so quickly. Now, I think they would yell at you if you were serving strawberries in
exactly.
December.
I mean, it is an interesting change and a great change. I'm glad that the public has come around and begun to understand.
And care about food and care about flavor.
Absolutely.
So, and we had a couple of topics around tomatoes. So choosing tomatoes, what is important to you in choosing tomatoes? And what different purposes would you choose them for? And then you can zap me on mm-hmm. varietals and all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff.
I think with a tomato, obviously you want it to be ripe and you're smelling it, you're feeling it. It needs to be soft to the touch. And
well, how ripe? I mean, that's...
Well, you know what? At some point they become overly ripe and they actually start to smell not so good. And that's really, I mean, when you see it starting to split or, it's so soft that it's splitting, it's definitely probably time to can it or make soup from it or a vinaigrette or cook it in some way.
Or use the 70% of it that's in really good shape.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, that's honestly, as a time, I think I end up wanting tomatoes. I think I like them a little bit, looser and sweeter and sort of tangier. Mm-hmm. So I end up probably waiting until some spot is like a little soft, a little overripe, and then take what is nice from it.
Well, and also, I mean, that we've had years where the tomatoes came in where they weren't as perfect looking as they could have been. And that's, obviously due to weather. So I'm excited to see what our tomatoes will look like this year overall, what kind of a shelf life we're going to get out of them. I mean, I you want to buy something, if you're eating it tonight, you want it to be ripe today. And, you do have if you're going to the grocery or to a farmer's stand and you want it to last a couple of days, you want to just make sure you've got a little bit of room. But, I think also one of the questions is probably what is a green tomato? And a green tomato is an unripe tomato. When you make fried green tomatoes.
Not underripe, where it's unripe and the color is not even changed. Because all tomatoes are green to start with when they first show up on the plant, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you want it to still be firm. I think that fried green tomato has to be firm enough that when you go to slice it, it's not going to disintegrate when you go to fry it. But, as far as looking for quality in tomato, it is really very visual, very much the way that it smells, and then you're on track.
Let's go to we have a topical call because we have a call from Katie in Ocean City about green tomatoes.
Okay, good.
Go ahead, Katie.
Hi.
Hi, Katie.
How are you all?
Good, thank you.
I love fried green tomatoes.
Me too.
And I was just curious if there's any other recipes that, you would make with green tomatoes.
You mean other than frying them?
Yes.
Thank you for the call and the question, Katie. I am going to hit Cindy up for her fried green tomato recipe because it's really good.
Okay.
So what else do you want to do with them, do you think?
I love to pickle green tomatoes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Spicy green tomato pickles are great.
Oh, so good.
Great.
It's actually really one of the only other things that I do with green tomatoes. And, you can always incorporate a green tomato into your salad. I wouldn't add very many or a lot, but it does give some balance if you're using a multitude of different types of heirlooms.
So we've got a good break. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about Cindy's fried green tomato recipe. I'm going to hit it up for a gazpacho recipe.
Yes.
More calls from listeners, 410-662-8780 on Formula Wolf on Food & Wine.